There's an ongoing campaign in the Israeli-occupied West Bank. It's about pushing Palestinians out of their homes and off of land that would become part of a future Palestinian state. The intimidation and violent attacks are spearheaded by radical Jewish settlers. But there's another group of religious Jews trying to counteract this extremist campaign. They're with an Israeli group called B'nai Avraham. That's Hebrew for the Children of Abraham. Recently, they traveled to the West Bank, some in clown suits, to meet with Palestinian families and entertain their kids. Another reason for these visits is to establish what's called protective presence. As one of the activists said, it's all part of an effort to put forward another face of Judaism, not nationalism and racism dressed as Judaism. That's one of the top stories today at the Christian Science Monitor, written by Dina Kraft. Good morning. It's Thursday, August 20th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. I'm Matthew Bell in Boston. First, our curation of news briefs from staff writers and wire services. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs or on our app. With new Trump tariffs on pause, Canada is pushing to finalize a trade deal with the U.S. President Donald Trump announced a three-day reprieve from 50% tariffs on Canadian goods worth billions of dollars, saying he has reached an agreement on trade with Ottawa. Prime Minister Mark Carney struck a more cautious note. Substantial progress has been made, although there is important work still to be done, Mr. Carney said in a statement Tuesday evening, just before the U.S. tariffs were set to take effect. Any final agreement is likely to involve politically sensitive compromises. U.S. races for governor include 8 black candidates. That's historic. Florida Republicans on Tuesday picked Representative Byron Donalds as their candidate for governor. That brings the number of black major party nominees to 8. The United States has only seen 3 black governors in its 250-year history, and so far all of them have been Democrats and men. The slate for this November includes Democrats and Republicans, men and women, including sitting Democratic Governor Wes Moore of Maryland. The nominees are promoting their experience and ideas for all constituents, but many say the possibility of expanded representation matters given the nation's history and the current environment surrounding issues of race and racism. Also, the UAE has imposed a trade embargo on Iran. The Wednesday announcement came less than 24 hours after the Gulf country said it was targeted by 2 Iranian ballistic missiles. The United Arab Emirates, Iran's second largest trading partner and main re-exporting hub, had restored economic ties with Iran in June. It was part of an Emirati strategy to both establish deterrence and re-engage Tehran. Iran's foreign ministry denied responsibility for the recent missile attack, claiming it was a false flag operation. As part of its campaign to punish U.S. allies, Iran has targeted the UAE with more than 2,700 drones and missiles. Despite the embargo announcement, Iranian planes and vessels continued to arrive in the UAE on Wednesday. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com or our app for the latest news. Among Israelis engaged in the practice known as protective presence to shield West Bank Palestinians from settler attacks, members of the leftist religious group B'nai Avraham are outliers. They are motivated in part, one member said, to display another face of Judaism. Dina Kraft reports from the West Bank for the Monitor. American diplomatic efforts to create historic breakthroughs in Iran and Gaza appear to have stalled. Both conflicts continue to flare up, challenging a long-term goal of the Trump presidency to dial back the United States' focus on the Middle East. Ned Temko reports from London for The Monitor. The banning of the Yabloko party from Russia's upcoming legislative elections may signal more than just politicking. It may suggest that the anti-war position, which Yabloko represents, may be larger among the public than the Kremlin is comfortable with. Fred Weir reports from Moscow for The Monitor. Polling misses have been common and sometimes egregious during the current primary season. This has a real impact on campaigns as polls shape media coverage, affect fundraising, and give cues to candidates honing their positions. Simon Montlake reports for The Monitor. The Endangered Species Act passed more than 50 years ago with almost unanimous support in Congress, but has consistently been the subject of political debate. The Trump administration is changing a key definition in the law, putting focus on what that means for the species the act protects. Madara Udoekong reports for The Monitor. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on Africa. In recent years, Africa's economies have felt a powerful impact from drought, debt, and violent discord. Yet, amid the turbulence, the southern nation of Zambia has charted a determined, if halting, course toward potential growth. Its latest election on August 13th set another example in its ability to achieve economic gains while mostly protecting its democratic system. The election has far greater international significance than the country's landlocked status and modest economic size might imply, in the view of a senior researcher at Chatham House, a respected London-based think tank. President Hakainde Hichilema, who was elected to a second five-year term with 60% of the vote, will govern a country at the center of Africa's critical minerals competition, debt diplomacy, and shifting regional alliances, wrote Christopher Van Dome this month. And he added, Zambia's prized democratic reputation will also be tested. A former businessman and rancher, Mr. Hichilema won office in 2021 on the promise of upholding democracy and undoing years of economic mismanagement, which led to the country's debt default in 2020. He has since restructured 80% of the debt and slashed inflation from about 25% to 6.5%. In 2025, the Zambian kwacha was the world's best performing currency, gaining nearly 25% against the dollar. For investors, the priority is continuity and clarity, a mining executive told the Financial Times last week, noting that Zambia's fiscal discipline restored its access to international capital markets. Consistency of policy and fiscal discipline, and leaning toward trade rather than aid, are lessons that other African nations such as Ghana and Ethiopia also appear to be heeding. Both their economies have grown and are attracting foreign investment, and mineral-rich Zambia and Ghana have been helped by higher commodity prices and demand, with more than $12 billion being invested in the Zambian copper industry since 2023. In the wake of drastic cuts to foreign aid, President Hichilema has indicated continuity and pragmatism, viewing current global conditions as an opportunity to take care of our own affairs. Referring to a sea change in the global minerals trade, he told the Financial Times this year, "It was previously a one-way traffic. Now we are talking of working together as partners, where investors see the bigger picture of the country's vision." The challenge that emerging African economies face in coming years is translating these gains into everyday improvements for their populations. Zambia has instituted free secondary education, bringing 2.3 million children back into the school system, and recruited more than 40,000 health workers to serve communities. But 70% of its citizens live in poverty, a situation exacerbated by extensive drought conditions. As citizens become impatient for change, the tendency is for political leaders to also become impatient with those they perceive as critics or opponents. Mr. Hichilema and his party have apparently not been immune to this. While the election was generally free of violence and widespread fraud, international observers expressed concern over clampdowns on the media and political opposition during the run-up. The Zambian president's initial election in 2021, as Mr. Van Dome noted, was premised upon support for democracy and pluralism. He did not come to power with a blank check, but a mandate to protect the institutions that carried him there. It would do well for Mr. Hichilema and other leaders pursuing growth to recall that the economic stability and free markets valued by investors rarely exist without political stability and freedoms. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com or on our app. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how listening to God, divine mind, for direction leads us to solutions that bless us and others. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Tim Malone and Jingnan Peng. I'm Matthew Bell. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, United States of America. Copyright 2026.